This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday. We're moving off of that dark stuff. We're going to get to emails. That'll be a good time. We'll dog on Cracker Barrel. We'll make fun of Jasmine Crockett. Mexico's getting a little uppity. All that and so much more coming up on the next hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Some of that may bleed into the next one. I don't know. Whatever. That's why they give us 3 hours. All right. So let's discuss something here. Now, before I get to the actual story, I have to explain something that's pretty obvious. Anyone who listens to the show for a long time will know this, but maybe you're a new listener. Unbelievably, the show keeps growing. So let me just lay it out there. I am the ugliest of ugly American. I love my country. I love it so much. I've been to other places. Good places, bad places. You know, I've been to Baghdad, I've been to Paris, right? I've been to other places. There's nothing like America. And even when I go to other nice places, like we did 6 months in Okinawa in the Marine Corps. Okinawa's awesome. Just that whole area. Japan's awesome. Like, it was cool. It was awesome. I can't complain. There was some hard training and stuff like that. I can't complain. But by the end of that 6 months, that at the time was by far the longest I'd been away from home. I just wanted to be around Americans. I wanted to be back in America. When I go overseas, when I travel at all, and I see Americans, my face lights up and we just talk. I know how blessed I am, blessed to have been born here, blessed with all the freedoms we have, the standard of living we have. It's a great country, and I hope you're proud of it. I am proud of it. And I don't get sentimental, as you know, about many things. I'm a cold, unfeeling, sociopathic jerk. I know that. But I get sentimental about America. I watch movies or just sad things, and I don't cry. Not much of a crier. Man, Star Spangled Banner gets me almost every time. If it's done well, I'll get a little choked up at the end there. It's just, I love it. Can't help it. And I have been, this is how much of an ugly American I've been, for, I would say, 5 years. I have been looking forward to the 250th birthday of America. That's next year. Just dwell on how unbelievably cool that is. No matter your age, you're going to be alive for 250. 250 years of this country. I'm so excited. I am so excited. I'm more excited for America's 250th birthday than I've ever been for anyone's birthday ever, including myself, my wife, my kids, my parents. It's 250, and we're going to be here celebrating this country. And I told you, it's been years. It's like 5 years I've been looking forward to it. I couldn't get it out of my mind. This is when I started looking forward to it, and then I started thinking, oh, this is going to be awful. If Joe Biden got reelected, what would that thing have looked like? Think about it. What would it have looked like? Have you visited recently at all the Thomas Jefferson's home, his historic home in Virginia? Have you visited? I haven't recently. I went before and it was wonderful. It was cool. Every single person I've talked to who's been there recently has talked about how they just destroyed everything. Now it's just a big thing about slavery. It's no celebration of Jefferson or anything he did. It's just slavery this and slavery that and slavery this and slavery that. Look, that's a little taste of what the communists have done to our history in this country. You know what? I'll play it again. I played it at the end of last hour. These people, this is Delia Ramirez, these people, The people who think like this, they're not just members of Congress from blue areas or a mayor here or whatnot. They are the people who have conquered our sacred historical institutions, and they have brought this America-hating mentality into our country, into our mainstream institutions. You can't even visit the home of the guy who wrote the Declaration of Independence without getting waterboarded by this crap.
For me, being an American is the ability to dream, to love, to have dissent, to be able to organize and build a kind of solidarity that recognizes the good and the bad of the formation of this country, that is willing to reckon with how we have used colonialism to harm others, especially in the Western Hemisphere.
Think what our 250th birthday would have been with those animals in charge of it. Oh, they would have had to do something. It would have been the gayest thing you've ever seen in your life. It would have been gayer than the U.S. Navy. It would have been all pink, rainbow, propaganda crap. White people suck crap. America sucks. Colonialism. This country sucks. This sucks and that sucks and this sucks. They would have had trannies in the parade. It would have been this wonderful, incredible moment that should have been, would have been awful. Instead of a celebration of 250 years, it would have been awful. And now, Trump is in charge of it. Even if you are the biggest Trump hater in the world for whatever reasons, I know he's got his flaws, everybody does, I get that. You have to admit, he's going to make it over the top America. The last I heard, he was discussing doing it in Iowa and making it something. Of course, it's the most Trump thing ever. A day. We're not doing a day. It's going to be like a year-long event where they're stretching it out over so many months of celebrating this and celebrating that. If you're looking for something to feel good about, we almost had the America-hating Democrats running our 250th birthday, and they would have ruined the whole thing. And instead, because we won an election in November, because you put in the work and I put in the work and we got out there and we went to the polls and we made it happen, our 250th birthday is going to be so over the top, red, white, and blue. I cannot get the smile off of my face. I swear I might rent a house in Iowa and just do the show from Iowa the whole year. And I promise you this, cross my heart and hope to die. Unless I am dying or somebody in my family is dying, I'm going to that celebration. I am going. And I don't mean for an hour like the Kellys normally do. I'm just going to go bask in freedom, baby, and it's going to be amazing. And look, the White House is already preparing. You remember that thing I read earlier from the Smithsonian? The Smithsonian's National Museum of African American History about how white culture is hard work and politeness and all the craziness. Did you see this headline from today? The White House to vet Smithsonian museums to fit Trump's historical vision. Top White House officials will scrutinize exhibitions, internal processes, collections, and artist grants ahead of America's 250th anniversary. They are already digging in, and they are going to purge the America-hating communist filth from all the places that were gearing up to crap all over this country for our 250th, and that should make you smile. It makes me so happy to know that our 250th is going to be awesome. I mean, shoot, they're cleaning up D.C.? I might go to D.C., and then Iowa. I don't know. I may just spend the whole time traveling the country in some ridiculous red, white, and blue hat and t-shirt and everything else I can possibly find. I was going to say sunglasses, but I'd have to get my prescription. Either way, it's going to be awesome and we should feel good about it. It's going to be over the top. and awesome, and we should feel good about it. Because it was almost terrible. It was almost, could you imagine what they would have done with it? Imagine what they would have done with it. They would have wrecked it. Imagine if these people ran it.
You don't think more police make streets safer?
No, Joe. I'm a black woman in America. I do not always think that more police make streets safer.
It would have been that. Ugh. All right. Let's do some emails. I'm behind on those. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. And remember, you can have meat as perfect as my meat. I'm not the meat expert. I just have an IQ sense. That's it. I have an IQ sense. The wireless cooking thermometer, that's a freaking miracle. You see, it has this hub. You take the thermometer out of the hub. You put it in your meat before you cook. And then put your meat in the oven or on the stove or on the smoker or on the grill. And you walk away. If you're looking, you're not cooking. That's the saying. You don't ever have to look again. The IQ sense talks to the hub, which talks to your phone. Your phone tells you when the meat is done. Go watch a game. Go to church. Go play a board game. Go for a walk. Your phone will let you know. Beep, 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 beep. Done. Take it off. There are recipes on there. It'll tell you the temperature of the oven or the grill or whatever. And 15% off. ChefIQ.com, code Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, fantastic Tuesday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Jesse, why is everyone freaking out that Trump is meeting Putin one-on-one? Europeans are in panic and Lindsey Graham's bending over backwards. Okay, so there's a couple things on this. First of all, Trump came out, in case you missed it, I don't know how you could have missed it, but on Friday, Trump's flying to Alaska, Putin's flying to Alaska, they're going to sit down and try to work this whole thing out.
This is really a feel-out meeting, a little bit. And President Putin invited me to get involved. He wants to get involved. I believe he wants to get it over with. Now, I've said that a few times, and I've been disappointed. The money that's been spent and the death is incredible. It's the worst thing that's happened, by far the worst that's happened since World War II. So I'm going in to speak to Vladimir Putin, and I'm going to be telling him, you got to end this war. You got to end it. Well, we're going to have a meeting with Vladimir Putin, and at the end of that meeting, probably in the first 2 minutes, I'll know exactly whether or not a deal can be made.
How do you know that?
Because that's what I do. I make deals.
Okay. Did you hear the part in that little thing where he said, the money that's been spent? The money that's been spent. Okay. Why are people freaking out about the potential end of this? And by the way, I'm going to get to a prediction about this meeting, but you're going to have to wait till I'm done having this talk, and then we'll talk about the meeting itself and whatnot. But the money that's been spent. Why is Lindsey Graham freaking out? Why is Europe upset? Why are all these countries upset? Remember the history episode we did? Actually, I think it was a couple of them on the Crimean War. No one knows anything about the Crimean War. Don't worry, I'm not going to do it again right now. But it was a war that took place roughly, not exactly, during our Civil War. So that tells you the kind of weapons and things like that that were going to be used there. The Crimean War. Well, it was over this exact area. This exact area. Keep in mind something. There are only so many choice places on the planet that everyone wants. And countries may rise and fall, technology may change, but what doesn't change is the places there are on the planet. This is the only planet God gave us. That part of the world is extremely valuable, not just for the warm water port that can get you out to the open ocean. That's the only one. It's the only one. It'll get you to the Mediterranean, out the Black Sea, to the Mediterranean, to the open ocean. It's your only option. It's not just that. Other resources that are there. It's a valuable part of the world. A valuable part of the world that everybody wants a piece of. Not just the countries that are currently there presiding over it. It's not just Russia who wants a piece of it. It's not just Ukraine who wants a piece of it. The UK wants a piece of it. Germany wants a piece of it. America wants a piece of it. France wants a piece of it. When there's valuable ground, people want a piece of it. Period. End of story. Now, the value, let's focus on that. There are trillions in money to be made there. Trillions. Trillions of dollars at stake. Trillions of dollars will move nation states to war. Nation states can be provoked to war over this little thing or that little thing. But when you start talking money in the trillions, nations will mobilize armies over money in the trillions, and they will march to war over that. And they always have, and they always will. That is something as old as war itself. Now, why when Russia invaded Ukraine, you remember, Ukraine is not a NATO country. That's an important part here. They are not a NATO country, and they would never be allowed to be a NATO country. Putin would probably launch nukes before he allowed that to happen. He's not going to allow a NATO country to be on his border. No one, he shouldn't. No one would allow that. Why did the West collectively freak out when Putin invaded? Because he's invading. No, there are invasions all over the world the West didn't care about. All over the world. Right now and back then, all kinds of attempted conquests were happening all over the planet. Why is that the one everybody freaked out about? UK, America, everybody. Because Western intelligence and really Western financial interests are heavily invested in Ukraine controlling that so we can use it and not Putin. Because if Putin gets it, he's going to cut the West off from it and he's going to use it for his own purposes. So immediately, wasn't it almost bizarre? Even if you're highly invested in this conflict one way or the other, wasn't it almost bizarre? Everyone from Joe Biden to Mitch McConnell ran to the microphone immediately and said, "This is the most important thing happening in the world." And we were all kind of suffering from inflation and open. There were all kinds of other things going on. And America kind of looked around and thought, "What?" I mean, you can say it's important, but the most important thing in the world? For Western governments, not allowing Vladimir Putin to take this incredibly valuable ground, which nations have been fighting over for centuries, is the most important thing in the world. Remember, these people are all monsters. They don't care about you. They don't care about normal people trying to feed their family. They care about themselves. So that's a little bit of the background. Now let's talk about what's happening and what I think is going to come. Before we talk about that, maybe these historical things, maybe you enjoy this kind of perspective. Judging by the emails we get every time I do a history episode, you very much do enjoy this perspective. Well, I have great news. You don't have to wait a month at a time for me to get to the next history subject. Hillsdale College will teach you history right now for free. Well, you should probably wait till the show's over, but Hillsdale College will teach you on demand, free. The incredible Hillsdale College, they offer more than 40 free online courses. Maybe you're not a history nerd like me. They'll teach you about capitalism. They have a 7-lecture series called Understanding Capitalism. Unbelievably fascinating. Maybe you're an American history person. They'll teach you about the Constitution. They have a new course out on the Federalist Papers. This is essential, essential. Sit down with your kids and learn about the Federalist Papers. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, fantastic Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, talking about this Russia-Ukraine meeting. So Trump's flying to Alaska. He's going to feel Putin out. Trump said, hey, I'm going to know right away if I'm going to be able to make a deal or not. They're talking about land swapping. Zelensky doesn't want a land swap. So why is Europe freaking out? Why is Lindsey Graham freaking out? Because Vladimir Putin has conquered a large chunk of Ukraine, and he currently holds it. And the Ukrainians, even with all the Western weapons and Western training that has been provided, they've been unable to eradicate the Russian forces from the region. Speaking about biting and holding, which we talked about earlier in the show, Putin bit and he's holding it, period. He holds it. And you don't have to celebrate that, but he does. He holds it. Western leaders are freaking out because there are trillions of dollars that are about to evaporate if a peace deal happens. Now, maybe you're about to say, well, I don't understand. The lives lost, it's been terrible. I mean, no one knows the exact number because everyone lies during war. Every side, your side, their side, every side lies. 500,000, I've heard that. I've heard it's high. I've heard 1,000,000. No one knows. It's a lot. Carnage. And normal people, good people like you, not me, but like you, look at that and you think, well, don't they want the loss of life to start? Don't they want the loss of life to stop, I should say. I think if you think like that, you don't understand how truly evil so many leaders in the West are. They would kill you and everyone you know, everyone in your town, everyone in your state. In fact, they would nuke the United States of America if it meant more money and power for them. These people they really are evil to the core. Loss of life, completely inconsequential to them. And let me pause for a second. Historically, that's how evil kings, evil dictators have always been. Without a second thought, they'll march armies off to war and widow tens of thousands of women, orphan as many kids. They'll kill as many people as they have to for the tiniest thing in the world. That's how evil leaders are. Our leaders today aren't any less evil than some Assyrian king who goes and sacks a town and murders all 50,000 people just for the fun of it. They're all the same. Same mentality. I'm powerful. I can do what I want. I matter more. I'll massacre people. Our leaders today, they're exactly the same. Now, as far as the meeting itself goes, let me give you a piece of advice we've probably talked about before, but I just need you to hear me here. You're going to encounter at some point in your life, sadly, someone in your life going through a divorce. Maybe it's your best friend, your brother, your sister. Maybe, God forbid, it's your mom. Maybe it's your child. Maybe you are going to encounter someone close to you who's going to go through a divorce. And because you are a good person, you are going to want to step in and mediate and stop it. That's what good people want. No, I don't want this pain. I don't want this breakup. I don't want this. Let's sit down. Let's work it out. Let me advise you against that. I have never, ever, ever in my 44 years seen that work. And 100% of the time, not 50, not 70, not 90, 100% of the time, the person who tried to step in got hurt very badly for the attempt. Why is that? It's not because your intentions aren't good. Your intentions are wonderful. But there's so much pain and anger and bitterness inside of that home that you can't fully understand because you're on the outside looking in. There's a history there. And no, just because your daughter's been texting you about it doesn't mean you know. You don't fully grasp it. I don't fully grasp it. And when you step in and try to mediate, you're just going to get burned by the war you stuck your nose in. Go read George Washington's farewell address. The founders of this nation were emphatic that America stay out of foreign wars for exactly the reason I just told you. It's not that they didn't have good hearts. It's not that they didn't want peace on earth and all these. Of course they wanted all these things. But they knew you stick your nose in someone else's business, you are going to end up getting burned, and most likely you're not going to fix a daggone thing. All you're going to do is drag yourself into it. The United States of America, this is no fault of Donald Trump because Joe Biden did it, stuck its nose as far into this war as you possibly could, to the point we had American politicians on both sides bragging that we were sending munitions that were killing Russian troops, bragging on camera that we were fighting a proxy war against the largest nuclear power on the planet. Now we're in it. Now we have stuck our nose in it. And Donald Trump, to his credit, I want to point out, wants peace everywhere. He's negotiating peace everywhere. India, Pakistan, Azerbaijan, everywhere. Donald Trump is negotiating peace. Iran, Israel, Donald Trump is trying to negotiate peace. He wants the death to stop, wants the killing to stop. Let's work this out. He is stepping into an area that has been fought over for centuries. He is stepping in to a divorce that I don't think he can solve. And I know he thinks he can. He wouldn't be Donald Trump if he didn't think he could. Guys like that think like that. Remember on the campaign trail? Remember what he would? Remember what he said about Russia, Ukraine, constantly on the campaign trail? I'll have that thing done day one. My first day in office, I'm going to wrap this whole thing up. I'll have a peace deal day one. I'm not criticizing him. That's what he wanted. That's what he tried. He's tried several times. He's tried with Zelensky. Zelensky blew it up. He's tried with Putin. Putin blew it up. Why does this keep happening? We are stepping into a divorce that is ugly. And the arguments, the fighting, the bitterness is generational and lasting. And they don't want peace. If Putin doesn't get to keep in this land swap thing, if Putin doesn't get to keep most of what he's taken, Putin's going to reject it. Because in Putin's mind, what? Try to get me out of it. You haven't been able to so far. We've been fighting for, what is it, Chris? 3 years, I think now? 3 years you've been trying to get me out of it. You can't. No. Zelensky, we've seen how belligerent that little troll is. He wants it all back. No. Give me everything back. Well, you lost it. You don't have it. It's not yours anymore. It got taken from you. I applaud Donald Trump for putting himself out there. And it is a risk. It's a risk of political capital, because what happens if Donald Trump flies to Alaska, has this big meeting with Vladimir Putin, and flies away, and it's just a huge dud, nothing comes of it? And that's what I believe it will be. I think it'll be no peace, no nothing. Well, then kind of makes him look bad. Oh, you tried and you couldn't. Don't get me wrong, I won't think any less of him, but it'll be political capital he didn't have to risk. I don't think this thing can work out until it's worked out by those two sides. Those are the players. That's the game. And that's enough of that. Let's get back to some emails, because I'm behind on some of those. And then we'll talk about Mexico sending the military in. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Let's dig into some of these emails before we talk about Mexico and a drug more dangerous than fentanyl. And oh my gosh, it's terrible. Jesse, in your world travels, you need to put Andersonville, Georgia on your itinerary. It'll give you the shivers. You'll feel the ghosts, and you'll surely want to do a history episode on this dark moment in our history after visiting. The story of Providence Spring could be an episode on its own. All right. So, Chris, save this email. I just decided, live on the air, that's my next history episode. We're going to talk about Andersonville. You know anything about Andersonville? Chris, you don't know anything about Andersonville? Corey, nothing? Good. Don't look it up. I'll teach you. We're going to look this up. I'm saving this email. Anyone who doesn't know, that's going to be my next thing. Time to do a little Civil War talk. Don't worry. It'll have all kinds of violence and atrocities and stuff like that. It's great. Jesse, I was on the grill the other night. I had an epiphany. Does the menu whisperer prefer bun length or normal size wieners? I figured since you have tiny hands, you're probably used to, you know, that's not very nice. We only do bun size wieners in the Kelly household. Only bun size wieners. I will never understand it as long as I live. Why are there wieners that leave an extra 2 or 3 inches of bun? It's awful. No, you don't eat the hot dog for the bun. You eat it for a combination of the two. I've told you this before. If I'm on a budget, and I have been many times, we go with Bar S. But Bar S is probably not the best. Now that we're moving on up like the Jeffersons, we get Ballpark. Ballpark bun size beef franks. They're beef, Chris. Even you can eat them. Ballpark. But what? Chris has been shockingly pushing for Hebrew Nationals. Hebrew Nationals are garbage. Chris, yes, they are. I've tried them. I know you have them in the fridge right now. I've seen them here. I get it. I support it, okay? Go ahead. I support it. Take them to synagogue. I have tried them 100 times. It's not like I don't want to like them. I want to like them. I'm trying to be cultured. What, Chris? What? I don't like them because of how pricey they are? Don't take your values and put your values on me. That's not true at all. I buy Ballpark. Ballpark's got to be about the same. Have I ever told you about the best hot dog I've ever eaten in my life? So, in the Marine Corps, after you graduate from boot camp, if you're in the infantry at least, you go, actually, I think this is everybody. When you go to boot camp in San Diego, you leave there and then you do post boot camp training for whatever your specialty happens to be at Camp Pendleton, which is Southern California outside of San Diego. If you're in the infantry like I was, you will do a long, long post boot camp training. It was called then, I don't know if it still is, SOI, School of Infantry. Pretty advanced stuff, School of Infantry. And it was, I'll tell you this, physically, it was much more difficult than boot camp. School of Infantry training was a lot. You're on ruck runs and all kinds of stuff. It was a lot. So while you're there, remember when you're in Marine Corps boot camp, unless this has changed, and I don't think it has, you don't get weekends off. You're always training. It's 3 months. You're always training. You don't get to call home. There aren't phone calls. There's nothing but you and an angry drill instructor trying to kill you. There's no weekend. There's no nothing. Now, that's how it's supposed to be. That's how you make a Marine. I'm not complaining about it. But when you get to SOI, you're not a recruit anymore. Now you're a Marine. And occasionally, at least they did back in the day, they will let you off for a day or two. We always used the number of hours. So it was, you got a 24 or you got a 48, or we never got 72s in SOI. Maybe you get a 72. If you go to the fleet, you get a 72. You get 3 days off. We had been cooped up. We wanted to go have fun. And they lectured us the second we got to SOI, because of its proximity to Mexico, that we were never under any circumstances allowed to go down to Tijuana. We were not allowed to cross the border and go to Tijuana. It was too dangerous. You're going to get arrested. You're going to get killed. Don't go to Tijuana. Well, if you tell that to a bunch of young infantry Marines, you might as well drive them down to the border. If you're telling me I can't go there, that must be where it's the most fun. First weekend we got, and I mean the first weekend we got. So, going to Tijuana, right? They even put guards, Marine guards, at the border trying to catch Marines crossing either way. That's how adamant they are. Do not go to Tijuana. Well, as you know, the shadow, I may be tall, but I'm very covert, slipped across the border with my boys. We drove down there, went down to Tijuana. Had a great time. You young Marines listening, I know a bunch of young Marines listen. In all seriousness, I'm totally serious right now. Don't do that anymore. It's way worse now than it was then. I wouldn't go now. Even when I was a young Marine, I would not go anymore now. too cartel controlled now, too dangerous. Okay. Don't do. No, they're not going to go, Chris. I just told them not to. Please don't. Listen, I'd be honest with you. Don't go now. Don't go. Too dangerous. Anyway, slipped across the border, had a great time. We exit an establishment, a bar. We left a bar. It was something like 2 a.m., like young Marines do, just morons. And they had this Mexican on the street, he's running a hot dog stand. And yeah, 2 a.m., Chris. Oh, Chris, there was a line. It's not like he was about to close up. Dude, it's Tijuana, buddy. There was a friggin' line. And I'm glad I don't know what was in these hot dogs, but he's pulling out these hot dogs that are bacon wrapped. And they were, you know, we didn't have any money. You don't have any money. You're dirt poor. $1 a piece. Oh, I know, Chris. You should see Chris. Now Chris is ready to go. Chris, bacon wrapped, buddy. Bacon wrapped. You can't go eat them anyway. Don't drive down there and ruin your kosher meal. Bacon wrapped hot dogs. And he threw them right on this flat top. And like I said, you know what the health and safety standards are. It's a miracle we didn't all die from that alone. Oh my gosh. I have never in my life eaten a hot dog that tasted that good. What, Chris? What? Why don't you bacon wrap them and smoke them at home? I've tried. I can't get them the same. I don't know why. This dude, that's a special Mexican voodoo or something like that. Have I told you about preborn? Have I told you about saving a baby's life? You know, babies right now, in all seriousness, babies right now are dying. Thousands a day. Abortion has not only not gone away, abortion has increased since Roe versus Wade got overturned. It's not because it got overturned, it's because of this evil pill. They'll just mail it out to women now. Just mail them a pill. Now it's on demand. Sad, isn't it? It's horrible. When evil is that available, how do you fight back against it? Preborn is how. Preborn finds that scared young mother and they give her an ultrasound. And by the way, once she chooses life, they don't just toss her on the street. Hey, you need care? You need substance abuse help? You need diapers? You need a place to stay? 2 years of care. Preborn is there. That rhymed. That was awesome. All they ask from you, $28. But give them whatever you want. $28 buys the ultrasound. It's all tax deductible. Write them a fat check. Preborn.com/Jesse. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We're going back to Mexico for drugs next.